Test.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll start in a few minutes. We're just waiting for the secretarial staff to get settled. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. May I welcome you to the Inner West Local Planning Panel meeting of Tuesday, the 5th of March 2019. I acknowledge the Gadigal and the Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, and their elders past and present. Now, on the agenda, the first thing I wish to deal with is declarations of interest. Do any of the panel members have declarations of interest on items on the agenda? Mr. Stapleton?
No, I haven't.
Mr. Hawke?
I'd like to declare conflict of interest with regards to item three. The proposal property is next door but one to my own home. Therefore, I did not attend the site visit this morning, and I intend to absent myself from the room when that matter is discussed.
Thank you, Mr. Hawke. Mrs. Day. Thank you, and I have no conflicts of interest either. I'd like to introduce the panel. My name is Kevin Hoffman. I'm the chair of the panel today. And I'd like to have each of the members of the panel give a brief description of their expertise so that you know the skill levels that are being brought to the panel. I'm an architect and a town planner. During my career, I've served as a Commissioner of the Land and Environment Court of New South Wales for a period of 14 years. I've also been a Foundation Director of a architecture and town planning practice, and I've also served as Chief Town Planner of a sub-region of New South Wales for a period of 12 years. And since I left the Land and Environment Court, I've served on a number of similar panels to this one. Perhaps we could start on my far left with Ms. Day.
Good afternoon. My name is Lindsay Day. I'm a consultant town planner with my own practice. I have over 35 years of town planning experience in all sectors, local, state and private in New South Wales. I think I've worked on a total of about 14 different local councils as a contractor and in the past as a permanent employee. I've got degrees in geography, natural resources and town and country planning, and I'm a member of the Planning Institute of Australia.
My name's Ken Hawke. I'm the community rep on the panel. I've lived in the Inner West area for over 40 years. I've been involved in planning for a similar amount of time. And prior to my retirement, I was director of planning for the former Marrickville Council area.
Mr. Stapleton.
My name's Ian Stapleton. I'm an architect of 40 years' experience with a speciality in heritage. I also have some experience and qualifications in planning law. I'm a member of four other planning panels around Sydney at the moment.
Thank you, panel members. Now, I'd like to just run through, for those who haven't attended one of these meetings before, general procedures. The first thing is that the meeting is being recorded. Speakers should be aware of that and making their presentation. Speakers should be careful not to use offensive language or give offence to others, whether they are present at the meeting or not. Now, anybody who speaks is invited to come to the chair at the end of the table there, bring the microphone down, I think so it's close to you, and you'll find a button on the base of it that you need to press, and a little red light comes on to show that it's functioning. Okay? Now, you'll see today on the agenda it's divided into two sections. So we'll deal with the first six items, and then we'll have a short intermission before we proceed with items 7 to 10. So if you're in the second part, I would suggest it may take us 45 minutes to an hour to go through the first part. I can't really predict the time that it will take. Now, the speakers today are registered with the council, and we would normally not allow any additional speakers because of the time requirements we have. The registered speaker will come to the speaker's table, as I've mentioned. Speakers are given 3 minutes to make their presentation. Now, we have received all of the written objections, and, of course, we've read them, so if you want to particularly highlight something, by all means do so, but we don't need you to go right through the submission that you've already written into the council. At the end of the 3 minutes, there'll be a bell ring, and if we wish to hear more, we'll give you more time, but usually it's best if you take the 3 minutes and then the panel will ask questions if they have concerns about what you've said. also be aware that since last week, the panel has had the council reports, the drawings, and the submissions for us to read, so that we are reasonably familiar with everything. And today we have been to the site of each of the matters on the agenda so that we could see and understand what's written more easily. We will make a decision on each item today. If there is something that comes up that we feel we need to discuss, we may adjourn for a period so that we can do that. There's one matter on the agenda we suspect we will need to do that for, and in which case we'll adjourn to the nearby committee room and come back in as soon as we can. Now, from there, I think we can go to the first item on the agenda, which is DA 2018.188 at 40 Pembroke Street, Ashfield, and it's removal of a tree in the rear yard. Now, Ms. Day has been asked by the committee to take the running on that matter. Ms. Day.
Thank you. The panel visited the site this morning, and generally we feel that the tree has perhaps outgrown its location. So the panel is going to agree to the recommended the officer's recommendation, subject to the amendment of conditions 2 and 3, which I'll read slowly. In relation to replacement planting, this is condition 2, the following tree must be planted: a minimum of 1 by 75 litre size additional tree, which will attain a minimum mature height of 5 metres, shall be planted in a suitable location within the property at a minimum of 1.5 metres from any boundary or structure. The tree is to conform with the suitable Australian standard and be of generally upright habit. In relation to condition 3, the canopy replenishment tree required by this consent is to be maintained in a healthy and vigorous condition until it attains a height of 5 metres, whereby it will be protected by council's tree management controls. If the tree is found faulty, damaged, dying or dead, it shall be replaced with the same species within 2 months. We decided to specify that it be an upright habit rather than the spreading habit that is present on the constrained site at the moment. And do you do all those in favour? Or
yes. All those in favour?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. That's a unanimous decision. Now moving to item two, that's D/2018/672 at 147 Darling Street, Balmain. And once again, it's removal of a tree, Acacia glauca, the swamp she-oak, tree located at the rear. To take the running on that matter as well. Thank you, Ms. Day.
Page. It's on. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Yeah? On page 28 of the agenda, the panel agrees with the recommendation, with the exception of a slight change in the wording of condition 2, which shall be the following tree shall be planted, a minimum of one 100 litre size tree, which will attain a mature height of 5 metres. We feel that for the size of the site and the proximity of it to buildings on the site and adjacent, that a minimum mature height of 5 metres rather than 8 metres is appropriate. And again, for the same reasons as item one, the tree is to conform with Australian Standard 2303, tree stock for landscape use, and be of an upright habit.
And I believe the panels will vote on that now. All members in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That's a unanimous vote once again.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. On item three, it's 19 Rose Street, Annandale. Mr. Hawke has already declared a potential conflict of interest and will leave the room. This application is a review of condition 2 of the Notice of Determination of Development Consent D/2018/406, which required the elevated rear deck to be reduced in depth and size. Now, I believe we have two people registered to speak on this. There's a Mr. Russell Fountain of 19 Rose Street, Annandale, and a Mr. Alex Chicknakin, a town planner. Now, who would like to speak first? Both people present? Mr. Russell Fountain, come to the desk if you would. Now, pull the microphone down, if you'd be so kind, and press the bottom on the base. That's good.
Testing. Yep.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to address the committee and also for your site visit this morning. First, I'd like to say we are not developers or property speculators. We're newly retired senior citizens and 30-year residents at this address, and we're seeking to combine necessary repairs and sensible improvements to enable our continued long-term occupancy of the property. In particular, our aim is to adapt the house for single-level living as our mobility decreases. With this in mind, we have recently fully replaced the tile roof to match the original while installed fully insulation throughout. Our current proposal leaves the roof and main building footprint totally unaffected. Our principal concerns with the review conditions appears to be excessive bulk of the proposed development and lack of conformity with the heritage aspects of the area. In fact, the Rose Street aspect of the property is completely unchanged, while the building profile from William Street view is governed by a 3.6 metre solid privacy screen on the eastern boundary of number 17 Rose Street, our neighbours, which extends 60 centimetres beyond our modified proposal. It is our contention that the additional 40 centimetres of deck width we are seeking would be unnoticeable to any casual outside observer while allowing reasonable access to a table and chairs on the deck. This is very important for us as the majority of our friends are similarly elderly and a number have restricted mobility. Access difficulty for us and our friends also precludes using the lower ground floor backyard as an effective outdoor living space. Note that the deck you visited at number 15 has a minimum depth of 2.8 metres and a maximum of 3.6 at either end of the stairs. Next door, number 17 deck is only 2.6 metres wide, plus an 80-centimetre stairs, but has a 3.6 solid privacy screen on its east side. The 2.6-metre width only allows bench seating at a table, which is very difficult for elderly access. We believe that a visit to our existing deck clearly demonstrates there is no significant overlooking problem for number 7 William Street, either from the current or proposed extended deck. The council has conditioned wooden slat balustrade, which we will do, but we would also be happy to substitute wrought iron to match number 21 Rose Street opposite us in William Street, if that helps further minimise any visual impacts. And finally, we feel that granting our request to a 40-centimetre extra deck will have negligible effect on the local community, but a very large positive impact on a couple of long-term residents. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions from the panel? Mr. Stapleton, I think you were going to take the running on this one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This application has been described by the Chair already, and it's further described in the Council Officer's papers and is essentially a request to delete Condition 2C of a previous approval, which limited the width of the rear balcony, also to reverse a condition about a retractable blind. And the proposal includes the construction of a privacy screen on the deck on the eastern elevation and the eastern half of the northern elevation. As already stated, the panel visited the property today and also visited the property next door and looked from the back yard of next door, looked up and down the whole line of terraces which have rear backyard decks. I think two or three of them the width of the proposed proposal and the remainder narrower.
Got to hear from the town planner.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Stapleton. He's described what we've seen on site today. And before we hear more, I think we have Mr. Chicknakin, town planner, to speak also on behalf of the applicant. Perhaps we'll hear from you now, if you wouldn't mind.
Thank you. I'll just keep this brief. So my name is Alex. I'm the applicant, and thank you for your time today. I just want to make three quick points. The first is just to highlight the scale and extent of the development. It's not excessive. It doesn't contribute to contravening any development standards of the LEP. There's no variation greater than 10%, and it really is just a small deck extension. So we've heard from the owners about the reasons for the development and why we're seeking approval for that, so I won't go through that again. But two assessments by the council have found they're willing to offer no leniency into the reasons for that. So we appeal to the panel for the human perspective on the need for that deck, not just, I suppose, as an assessment exercise by the council. The second point is just to highlight the concessions that we have made through the different assessments. So the first, the original depth of the deck was for 3.5 metres. Obviously, the condition of approval reduced this to 2.5 metres, and the review that we're seeking now is for a compromise of 3 metres for the depth of the deck. So we are contending council's refusal and unwillingness to compromise, given the importance of the deck to the owners and what we believe is the little quantifiable impact on the streetscape and amenity of the deck. The third is the impact of the deck is largely immaterial to the streetscape. The form of the building remains unchanged. There's no variation to a development standard greater than 10%, and we have conceded the depth of the original deck. So all these factors mean that the depth of the deck, it's not inconsistent with the locality. In my letter, I referred to clause 4.15.3a(b) of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act that states there is a degree of flexibility in applying provisions and there is scope for a reasonable alternative. And we believe that the reduced depth of the deck is a reasonable alternative, which council has disagreed with twice. So we ask that you consider this flexibility allowed, given the scale and extent of the works and the inherent value of the deck.
Do you need more time?
That's all. Thank you.
All right. Questions? I wanted 3.6. You wanted 3.6 in the original application, and you're saying now 3 metres. Okay.
In the review.
That would bring it out to what, about the same as the adjoining property's stair down to their backyard, would it?
It's the halfway point.
Halfway point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think there's something it'd be there, so the stair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it would be too.
Yeah.
What do you think? We're just getting a better idea of that on the plans.
All that would be 3. Mm-hmm. I remember, so it scales at 3.
Mm-hmm. Let me show that to Lindsay. That's the one. Yeah, that's 3. They're asking.
No, not Rotter. Not cast iron. It's a Federation
so
style.
Do you want anything about 3? 2.6 or
2.6? Well, I was happy with 2.2 on the view, but if you want to give a bit more, it's fine. 2.6?
Yeah, it's a compromise between 2.2 and 8.
Yep.
Do you think that's equitable?
Well, 2.6 is wide enough for a table and chairs.
Okay.
It's generally 2.1 is considered just enough.
I'm happy with 2.6.
2.6.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Oh, do you want to ask the question? Do you want to ask the question if you're happy to do that?
We've just excuse us for doing a little discussion amongst ourselves. The guidelines for the conduct of the panels allows us to retire, but sometimes it's better to deal with it with whispered conversations like you just heard. The panel visited the site this morning, as I've said, and were generally of the opinion that the council's office recommendation should be adopted. 2.1 width of a veranda is usually sufficient just to be wide enough for table and chairs. It was also cognizant of all the reasons that are given in council's office report about private open space being generally at ground level, and also that what was done here could affect applications right down the road for decks. Also that it was a conservation area. That also that there had been a number of renovations carried out to this building in a conservation area to make it bigger. And this was another application to make the property bigger. However, in our discussion just a moment ago, the panel just determined to make an adjustment to the approval which would allow an extension of the deck to 2.6.
Condition 2C.
So that would be condition 2.2C of the papers on page
87. Page 87.
Yes, so the panel, I think, is deciding to adjust condition 2C so that 2.6 is the allowed width of the balcony as extended. Mm-hmm. So are we agreeing on that, panel?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
So... for those present, we'll adjust the wording of these conditions accordingly.
No, we've determined the matter now. Just for clarity, it will be condition 2C of item 3 in the agenda, where the width of the balcony is currently listed as 2.2 metres from the rear wall of the dwelling. It will be adjusted to read 2.6 metres from the rear wall of the dwelling. Thank you. That concludes item 3. Yes, would Mr. Hawke come back in? Thank you. Thank you. We can now proceed to item 4, and that's D/2018/503, 79 Reynolds Street, Balmain, ground floor alterations and additions to an existing heritage listed dwelling house and associated demolition works. Now, I have listed to speak on this a Glenys Lindemann, who I believe is resident 79 Reynolds Street, Balmain. And I think the next item, I've got an Elaine Richardson listed as architect, but is that in relation to that item? Thank you. Well, it's Ms. Lindemann only. Thank you. Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you, panel. We feel that the recommended conditions of consent are excessive and unreasonable in this matter. The alterations and additions will not be visible from the street. The recommendations are concerned with the roof form. The main gable over the main building is not being significantly altered. It remains a gable. The roof over the rear remains a skillion, only with a slightly altered angle. The development directly next door to ours involved completely demolishing the rear wing. Its new addition has a curved roof, curved metal windows, and corrugated iron walls. My query is, how was this acceptable under the current DCP, and how is this heritage? In contrast, our design is sympathetic and subservient to the original part of the home. We've been utilising rendered walls, timber windows and a skillion roof. Our proposed extension has been designed to uphold the integrity and the heritage of the original building, an aspect that Council itself strives to maintain. The partial demolition of two internal walls is required to provide a more usable space and avoid dark windowless rooms. In no way does this impact on the front section of the house. In no way does it impact on the external appearance of the house. In regards to the side windows, this was discussed at a face-to-face meeting where we were told that the configuration as indicated on our current plans would be acceptable. This has now been contradicted. Our home is the only house and the whole group of semi-detached houses in our street not to have undergone major renovations. My husband and I love Victorian houses and specifically designed these additions to retain the character of the home while bringing it up to 2019 living standards. This is our home. This is where we want to live. It's not a museum. It's a living, breathing house. And we therefore ask the panel to consider our representations and to pass our plans as lodged without the excessive conditions as suggested by Council. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You might need to wait in case there's questions. Now, Mr. Stapleton is going to take the running on this. As you've heard, he's a heritage architect, so he has a particular interest and skill level in matters of this kind. Mr. Stapleton.
Thank you. Have you got the plans with you? Could I ask you to look at the drawing? Sheet 6 that shows section AA. Doesn't that not show that you propose not to extend the rear wing, you're proposed to completely replace it apart from the party wall?
It's extending it out.
I'll ask the question again. Does not it show you completely replacing the rear wing apart from the party wall?
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
I have a subsequent question. We've read the Council's policies on heritage items, and although you've said that the heritage item next door to you has been heavily renovated, when we go to the site, we're acutely conscious of the fact that a heritage item is encouraged to keep the existing building fabric as far as possible and incorporate any extensions so that when somebody comes along later on, they can see that what was the original house easily recognisable. And I know when we went into your house, that we could see in, I think, what was the kitchen, there's a hearth where the original fuel stove would have been, and there's the chimneys, and in the very next room it was probably the laundry because there was a flue there too, which probably the copper went up. And the fabric of heritage items is seen as an important part of the long-term preservation. Your building's already been there close to 100 years, I would think. And, of course, the Council is thinking about the next 100 years. But they recognise that you should be able to modernise to a certain extent. Do you think it's possible to, instead of demolishing that rear section, to incorporate it into an extension that will give you the living spaces that you want.
We discussed it at great length with our architect to try and work it out that way and to maximise natural light into the house because it is a semi. You're restricted on what light's going to come in. You're only building along one wall, one side. We are retaining that fireplace, which was as is indicated on the plans. So that's not being removed at all. That's staying there. So really it's that the rear wall and the wall that runs along between the existing dining room and the old extension which has been there for like the last, I don't know, 50, 60 years that was there. We were trying to, with the plans that we did, we were trying to make it so that it was a seamless, when you walked through the house, it blended and you could utilise it as a modern house but still retain that lovely old features of having all your fireplaces and having all our chimneys and stuff like that. But maximising and trying to get some natural light into the centre of the house. And therefore that's why we placed the kitchen where we propose and the laundry and the bathroom side by side so each room can have a window and natural light. At the meeting that we had with the council assessing officer and the heritage person, the heritage person actually said, oh, we'll just don't have... He suggested a position of the laundry and the bathroom, and I said, well, would you like to live in a house with a bathroom with no window, which has lots of issues associated with it? So... As I said, this is our home. This is where we want to live. We don't want to trash the place. We don't want to make it look like it's landed from outer space. We want it to be complementary to what is there. Hence the fact that we've been using, our suggestions are to use rendered brick wall with the block pattern to blend in with the rest of the externals, timber sash windows to blend in with the rest of the house, corrugated iron on the roof to blend in with the rest of the house. We don't want it to look like some ultra-modern thing. That's not the style of house that we want to live in. And it's not a museum.
I'd like...
Okay, Mr. Stapleton, please.
I'm going to summarise now, so we won't ask any more questions. Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Linderman. As we've said, the panel visited this property today and looked at it inside and from the rear garden, and we noted that both the front and rear wings were reasonably intact, although they'd been changed to some degree over time. We also noted that this is a heritage item under the LEP, and we took the view that... retaining substantial parts of a rear wing of a heritage item is as important as retaining the front wing. So being a heritage item does not constitute necessarily just keeping the front wing of a house. Now, as I've indicated earlier, this proposal is essentially the demolition of the back wing. Ms. Linderman has said all the right words today, and I'm wondering whether she might not have been misled by her designer, because the proposal is to literally demolish the back wing apart from the party wall, and I admit a mistake on my part. It is shown to keep the existing kitchen chimney as well. But there's a new slab under the lot, there's new walls on all sides, and it is not quite as characterised by Ms. Linderman. Accordingly, I think it's the panel's view that we want to maintain the existing proposed deferred commencement conditions. This means that the proposal is approved, but the plans have to be adjusted before the work can commence. And the deferred commencement conditions, which are included on page 149, of the council papers will largely stand, and we've decided to add a few more conditions about substantial retention of the rear wing and the submission of details of which elements and finishes are to be retained in the front wing of the house. So there's draft wording, I think, now on the screen. You'll see that the first condition A is essentially new. The others are similar to as proposed on council papers. And the last one is new about the submission of a schedule. So, Mr. Chairman, if the panel would like to vote on this issue now, we can.
Ms. Day?
Aye.
Mr. Hall? Thank you. The decision on this matter, with the amendments to the deferred commencement condition, as outlined on the screen now by Mr. Stapleton, is confirmed unanimously. Therefore, that deals with item 4 on the agenda. Turning to item 5, it's D/2018/544, 21 Darvell Street, Balmain, Torrens Title subdivision into two lots. Mr. Hawke is to take the running on this matter. Now, I don't think... No. I'm sorry that we've got no registered speakers on this matter.
This item relates to the property at 21 Darvell Street, Balmain, and the proposal is to Torrens Title subdivision the property into two lots. Currently, an attached dual occupancy is being erected on the land. The proposal, however, does not comply with the minimum lot size for development prescribed in the Leichhardt Local Environmental Plan 2013. The applicant has lodged a Clause 4.6 application to justify a just departure from the minimum standard. The panel visited the property this morning, considered the officer's report, and has concluded that the proposal can generally be endorsed by carrying the recommendation on page 191 of the agenda to support the clause 4.6 request and approve the application for subdivision.
And I believe the panel's vote on that is unanimous.
Aye.
Thank you. That concludes item 5 on the agenda. And we now go to item 6, which is DA/2016/00139.02, 30 Terminus Street, Petersham. And it's to modify determination number 2016-00139, dated the 19th of August 2016, under section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act, to carry out alterations to enclose the dining courtyard fronting Terminus Street at the White Cockatoo Hotel at 30 Terminus Street, Petersham. Now, we have registered for this one Elaine Richardson, architect. Are you here? Thank you, Ms. Richardson. If you'd take the chair. And is the red light on?
Thank you.
Okay.
I actually don't have a submission, but I'm just here to answer any questions that that you have or may have come up through the site visit.
Okay. Yep.
Have you got your plans there?
Yes, I do.
Your south elevation on sheet A201. There appears to be an error. The wall the party wall, as it were, on the left-hand side of the drawing on the south elevation. We were there this morning. That wall seems to go all the way up.
Yes, yeah, you're correct. Apologies. The neighbouring wall does go up higher.
And you're not intending to make that any higher?
No. It is very high.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions from the panel?
No other questions.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. We've visited the site today and we've looked at the plans and we've read the officer's report and we've come to the conclusion that the officer's report and recommendations are supportable. After all, it is simply a new roof over the existing outdoor dining area. It will provide greater weather protection and greater noise insulation compared to the existing roof over that area. And therefore, I believe the panel will support the officer's recommendation. Is that right?
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you. That's a unanimous decision once again. And therefore, item 9 is adopted as shown on page 230 of the agenda. Item 6 plus the associated conditions. Thank you. And now I think that's the end of the first stage of our panel meeting. The next item is item 7, 38 Dalhousie Street, Haberfield. We're going to take a short adjournment before we deal with that matter. Thank you. Thank you. We'll resume today's meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel on the 5th of March 2019. The next item we have is item 7, which is 10.2018.139, 38 Dalhousie Street, Haberfield, alterations and additions to an existing dwelling, including the construction of a new garage and swimming pool. I think there's a bit more to it than that. There's a large rear extension to the existing house. Now, we have speaking for that Lachlan Delaney Architect and Dr. John Ranieri, who I think is owner of the property. So, Mr. Delaney, are you going to speak now? Or Mr. Ranieri first? All right, Dr. Ranieri, come forward.
How's that?
Thank you.
I'd like to thank your planning representatives for visiting 38 Dalhousie Street, Haberfield, this morning. I hope that having viewed the house for themselves, they can now appreciate just how unique this property is. I would like to introduce myself to the panel today. My name is Dr. John Ranieri and I reside presently at 34 Demon Avenue, Haberfield, with my wife Amy and our four children who are aged 13, 10, 9 and 7. I have served the Leichhardt community for over 27 years as the local Norton Street dentist, not far from these council chambers. Our Demon Avenue property, purchased in 2002, is located directly above the impending WestConnex M4, M5 link tunnels and within 300 metres of the new ventilation stack. So we decided to purchase 38 Dalhousie Street in 2015 to distance ourselves somewhat from the so-called toxic triangle area of Haberfield whilst remaining in a community familiar to our children. The grand appearance of the house, its extensive tree canopy and much larger land appealed to us. We were able to see past the deteriorated appearance of the structure and the overgrown grounds. Subsequently, we engaged Lachlan from Sago Design to help us modify the house to accommodate the six of us and our requirements as a growing family. Our children are excited about the prospect of a full-sized lap pool, more living space, and a much larger garden area for their ball games, subject to your approval. I find it difficult to understand how the Inner West Council can obstruct our conservative, tasteful, and considered rehabilitation of this house. It deserves to be returned to the condition of its glory days under the original owners, the Buckingham family. However, the house should also be allowed to have a contemporary outlook to accommodate the Ranieri family. I hope we can work together to achieve a common ground. Otherwise, we are prepared to sell up and relocate as we have outgrown our current premises. Thank you for your attention.
Questions from the panel?
No questions from me.
Is the architect here?
Yes.
I've got a question for him.
Yes. So we shall... any other...
Yes, I think you could continue to sit nearby. Just if the architect would like to bring a chair up, you can sit next to your client in case there's a question that involves two of you. Can you get the microphone?
Here we go.
All right. Thank you.
I would simply just like to emphasise a couple of points within the written statement that we have prepared and that the panel has reviewed. Firstly, regarding the two jacaranda trees on the site, as Dr. Ranieri has indicated, he and Amy purchased the property in part because of those beautiful trees, and it's certainly our intention right from the outset in designing this proposal to retain the trees and to ensure their good health. Clearly, there is a slight difference of opinion between our consulting arborist, who was the first consultant we brought into the picture early in the design process, and that of council's assessment. But I simply wish to say we're prepared to do whatever it is to satisfy council's arboricultural interpretation, and I won't go into details on where I think there's some differences of opinion or misinterpretation. Suffice it to say we are committed to ensuring the tree health, but we have indicated to council that the additional and fairly costly works of root mapping, careful excavation and root mapping, simply are a moot point if we can't move beyond some of the critical and contentious heritage questions. Secondly, and again working to my letter, which works to council's letter to the owners, regarding replacement trees, again, we're happy to satisfy whatever requirement council has there, although we do find the two mature jacarandas and the two mature palm trees as establishing a fairly generous canopy for the neighbourhood already. However, we're happy to acquiesce and do what we can. Regarding the heritage modifications that have been called for, council's requested that projecting blade walls must be deleted. We're happy to reduce those in height significantly.
Perhaps I could just interrupt you there. The panel, having had a look at the property this morning and considered the matters before it, we've already decided that many of the requested modifications in the condition Part A 1 Romans 2 will not be pressed by the panel, but we do have other amendments that we believe are justified from a heritage standpoint. And I wonder if I could ask Mr. Stapleton to cover those now so that we can hear your response to them. Would you like to do that, Mr. Stapleton? Thank you.
Panel visited the site this morning, as you know, and looked inside the existing front and rear wings and briefly the remainder of the property. We of the view that by and large the proposal is sympathetic to the heritage of the heritage values of the site, and this includes locating the the proposed addition toward the rear, hidden largely by the trees, and that involves demolishing an existing addition which isn't original, which is fairly recent also, and generally retaining the existing contribution of the building to the street and retaining the interiors of the existing front wing. Our main point of concern was the bulk of the proposed roof of the addition, and we're proposing to put in a deferred commencement request that that be reconsidered. We're not opposed to the standing seam metal roof treatment, provided it's of a lightish colour. We didn't find there were enough details of the garage, particularly the carport in front of it or what the garage door was going to be. We were concerned about the front fence, but you've since assured us that it would be matching the details of the existing fence and that you could restore the pedestrian gate. We did feel you should retain the vehicle gates and not widen them. You might like to speak to that in a minute. We discussed the airless and sunless attic in that you're proposing in the roof, but in the end decided that we wouldn't oppose that, although we didn't think it would be a very pleasant space. We were concerned about the fenestration of the new addition, that might be better treated by a transom rather than the mid-rail design which is intimated on the plans, which looked very 1970s in nature. I don't know whether you'll agree with us on that or not. One defect of your plans is that in bedroom 3 of the main wing you show no fireplace. Well, there's a beautiful chimney breast and mantel shelf there. I don't know whether that's a mistake in your measured drawing or not. You might like to comment on that, but we'll require the retention of the chimney breast in bedroom 3.
The window.
The triple light window we had no problem with, although you said it was a salvaged one. We didn't have a problem putting that on the least important elevation of the building. So by and large, we're agreeing that your design is sympathetic and are happy to approve it, subject still to deferred commencement conditions, which we can put down. Can we show those? I've covered the first one about the garage, the front fence. I've covered the redesign of the main roof of the addition, the colour selection of the roof of the addition, the chimney breast and the fenestration. So I think I've covered the points in discussion. Now, perhaps if the architect would like to comment on any of those.
Mr. Stapleton, could I just clarify the panel's position regarding the blade wall elements that council has taken issue with?
We're happy with your present design.
Thank you.
Well, the idea in that is the panel doesn't want to interfere with your conception as the design architect. We don't want to interfere with that unless there's a very good reason. The only thing we can see that we think is problematical is the bulk of the roof of the addition, and we're suggesting that be reconsidered. You can understand that it's a very big roof and it might compete with the house.
Sorry. would the Balkan scale question be appropriately addressed by maintaining the extent of the hip and gable roof to the rear but simply lowering its ridge height further, or would the panel be seeking a solution similar to what Council is proposing, which is that the portion of roof above the pool become a flat or skillier
roof? No, we didn't want...